Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Chewy, it is Packers-Bears week. And I have no idea how things are going to play out on Saturday. I mean, I'm hopeful that the Packers can win. I think they can do some things against that Bears defense. Certainly concerned about some of the things the Packers have going on defensively with no Micah Parsons. But there is one thing that I know for sure. Win, lose, draw on Saturday. Heck, if the Packers make the playoffs, miss the playoffs this year, there is one thing I know for sure.
What's that?
In 5 years, my team is still going to be playing in Green Bay at Lambeau Field.
That's fair.
I know that the Green Bay Packers are not going anywhere, big guy. The Chicago Bears, on the other hand, they cannot say that coming into this game. Because why not? In the middle of their best season in a decade?
Yeah.
When they're playing, they're riding high, they're feeling great. The Bears are always going to bear. Like, it's almost like they can't help themselves. Things are going well on the field, so why not stir some things up within your fan base off the field? An open letter was sent yesterday by their CEO, Kevin Warren. I believe initially it was just addressed to their season ticket holders. Eventually, it was as an open letter to their fan base that was posted on their Chicago Bears website. And basically, what you need to know is this has been rumored for years, and they've even confirmed it, so not even so much a rumor. They want to move the team to Arlington Park. They want to build a new stadium. The Bears want to have control of the stadium because they don't right now at Soldier Field in Chicago. So they've been trying to work with Cook County, the county down there, in terms of some assistance with some infrastructure things where the Bears would build the stadium, but then they want the county to build roads, infrastructure, things of that nature that would help alleviate some of the congestion that would happen on game days around their new stadium at Arlington Park. However, Cook County has told the Bears basically to kick rocks and that the project would not be a priority in 2026. So in a long letter, here is the money quote from this long letter from CEO Kevin Warren yesterday to Bears fans. Consequently, in addition to Arlington Park, we need to expand our search and critically evaluate opportunities throughout the wider Chicagoland region, including Northwest Indiana. Can you imagine the Gary Bears?
You know, the only thing I hope for the new stadium, put in field turf. So we don't have to.
Chewy, do you not understand what we're doing here?
Crappy playing
surface. I don't care.
I really don't care. Illinois is a toilet. They're a disaster. Really could care less. It'd be nice for the Packers to go down once a year to play in a new stadium. But do I really care what the Bears? They're just dysfunctional. They are. They're dysfunctional.
I think
go
we should
Arlington Park. Just pull the trigger and go there. And I know they still probably want assistance from the state, which they probably won't get.
Look, I think like Kenosha and Racine County should open their doors. 7 mile fair Bears. I think that has a ring to it.
That is almost sacrilegious, Gabe.
Oh, can you imagine though? Can you imagine the disdain of Bear fans?
You would want
they
the
have
Bears
to come
in
into
Wisconsin?
Wisconsin? Yes, because of the sting of Bears fans every time they would have to cross the state line.
I would welcome the Bears to 7 Mile Fair Road, and they could build a stadium right there. Hell, Lake Geneva, it's basically all Illinois people anyway. Stick them there.
I would do it, and then I would put tolls all the way around the stadium.
Yeah.
Duh.
Okay.
See, now you're catching on.
All right.
Plus, we could always laud it over Bears fans. We saved your franchise.
I would think Indiana would be clamoring to get the stadium.
There's nothing going on in Gary, right? I mean, Gary's got nothing going for him.
They're not seriously considering Gary, though, are they?
No, but that's just when you think Northwest.
Northwest Indiana. Yeah. I mean, Gary, it's right there. It's right over the border.
Yeah, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump.
So, I mean, it's the thing that makes the most sense to me.
I would think Indiana would want
that. This just brought me so much joy, Chew, because, again, like, it seems like for years and years and years.
Game.
I know, but for years and years and years, this Bears team has been so dysfunctional. just unable to keep a head coach when they have a good one in Lovie. He has a winning record. They decide to fire him. They've been toiling around forever, trying to figure out their quarterback, their coach, their general manager. You have the number one pick. You use it. You fire that regime. You brew it, bring in a new one. Rinse and repeat. Bears are going to be dysfunctional. Well, now, yeah, it seemed like they hired the right head coach. He's been getting the most out of Caleb Williams. The Bears are in first place in the North. Like, things had been trending in the right direction, but it's like they can't help themselves. They have to, you know what, things are going too well for us. Let's just show everybody just truly how dysfunctional we are. And it just warms my heart that the Bears, no matter what, even if the product on the field is good, the Bears are going to bear.
Have you guys been to the new stadium? I have not. Obviously, I played in the old stadium. I mean, the new stadium is ugly as sin. Have you been there?
I have not. I have not been to
Joshy?
The new Soldier Field.
No.
Old one was so weird. It was a stadium inside of a stadium. It's very bizarre.
And I'm assuming the field conditions were just as bad when you played. Or you couldn't really tell because field conditions across the league were bad?
Yeah, they were. Like San Fran was. San Fran, the old Candlestick, was built on a landfill, and it smelled like it. It's terrible. No, fields back then. I played in the original Veterans Stadium in Philly.
I don't even know if you can call that a field. I think that's just a parking lot.
I played in Cleveland Municipal Stadium where they called it painted dirt, and it was painted dirt. Terrible. So I think we didn't complain as much back then. Or at least we didn't complain externally. We complained internally. Now all these guys do is complain. They're complainers. Right?
That's Rich coming from our foremost complainer.
This is pot calling kettle black situation
when
here.
When you are eligible for your ARP card, you are allowed to complain. Am I right or wrong?
I mean, you don't have to. You don't have to join that, right? Like, you don't have to be that way. That's part of who NFL boy is.
Secretly, you've just been waiting for the moment to when you could fully complain.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It was embarrassing when that came in the mail. Because I thought that was a 65-year-old
thing. No. I've known people who've got those in, like, their 40s.
Oh, yeah.
Where the AARP just starts sending those bad boys out.
Is that like the JV discount card?
Basically.
As I say, I don't know a whole lot about AARP.
Okay.
I'm not super well versed. I do know it has benefits, but I ain't got much for you.
But you can't say you're surprised by this whole bear thing.
No, that's what I'm saying. It just warms my heart that especially coming into this game, Chu. Again, you are playing for first place in the NFC North. First time that this has happened this late in the season in that stadium against this team since 2013. Huge game. Huge game. You can bury the Green Bay Packers and make it tougher for our team up here to potentially make the postseason. There's a lot on the line in this game.
Yeah.
And your CEO decides now is the time to write an open letter to the fans saying, hey, we want to be in Arlington. Cook County doesn't want us, so we're looking for places, including Northwest Indiana.
Yeah, that's fair. It's kind of the same thing that's going on in Kansas City, isn't it? Nothing got rectified there. They're looking to go to Kansas. This is just what billionaires do,
Gabe.
Yeah,
I know this is what they do. But like
billionaires, the last thing they want to do
is spend their own money.
But Chewy, right? Like this is something you could have easily done to try to get fans. Because even though it says in there, hey, this isn't about leverage. It's exactly about leverage.
You're trying
to make Cook County panic that you would actually
You're leveraging your team, potentially like locking up the NFC North. You're leveraging the most success you've ever had.
Yeah.
This is the type of stuff, this is what makes bad franchises bad franchises.
Yes.
Because they are not focused on the right things, which would be winning this season, doing as well as you can, and then dealing with that in the offseason.
And I was about to say, I understand, like, if Cook County doesn't want to make you a priority in 2026, and now you know that, you know, again, we're on the doorstep of 2026.
Right.
I get that. Makes sense. Then just quietly go about your business. Quietly try to find another place to do the leveraging that you want to do. And then when the off season hits in late February, go, hey, here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. Like, this could have come out in February instead of now being a distraction to your team and your fan base that, yeah, we might not be in Chicago.
We might not be even in Illinois. We might have to find a new state. You can't be the Chicago Bears of Indiana. Can't happen. Not a thing.
Like the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, just it is. Chewy's right. We all understand what's going on here. This is classic. We are going to try and use every bit we have to get what we want and the way we want it. But it's also the worst possible time.
Oh, it's terrible time. And again, this is a play out of every owner's playbook.
Yes.
When they're trying to
hold on. Not Jerry Jones. Now, do you respect Jerry Jones a little more for doing what he did?
Funding his own city? Yeah.
Paid for the stadium out of his own pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's for some reason understood very easily that if I make this into a place that can be more than just a football stadium, it's going to make me boatloads of money. And people were like, huh, that's probably a good idea.
Final Chicago, Four, WrestleMania, how many ever concerts, like every big bowl games, big white college football games.
But if Chicago did the same thing and put a retractable roof on it, they could do the same thing. They could have national championship games. They could have.
Oh, yeah. And they're going to put a roof. And here's the thing, too. Like, they're willing to spend $2 billion on the stadium, but they don't want to then spend the other money on the roads and infrastructure that's what they want the county to do. And then for that, they want to tax the people around that.
And they don't want to. Yeah. Then they don't want to benefit the community in the way they want to keep the money for themselves.
Do you guys think that's fair, though?
No.
Why don't you think it's fair?
Because they got the money, man.
Yep.
Do what Jerry did.
Do you think the Bears should put in the infrastructure as well?
Yes. Well, obviously you have to work with the county in order to accomplish that, but the Bears should be footing the majority of that bill.
If they want help paying for it, then the community then gets partial bits of their
bits of the revenue.
Well, they're going to get the tax dollars.
Are they?
Yes.
Oh, true. Come on.
I mean,
why do you live in Florida?
Okay, here's the thing about Florida.
Blew up kind of quick.
Okay, yeah, there's no income tax. Hold on, there's no income tax, but nobody works down here. So does it really matter? You know, I mean, I love Florida, but the taxes down here are as bad as California. They just hide it better. Fair?
Sure.
I mean, people do not work down here. So who gives a rip about income tax?
I mean,
let's
be honest here. Miami and all that are quite known for their money making. Sometimes it's a little surreptitious. Sometimes it's not legal means.
Hold on.
Sometimes there's fraud.
What are you saying about Miami?
I'm not going to lie.
It's built on cocaine, that's what I'm saying.
I'm not going to lie because when you're a free agent,
Tax?
Uh-huh. You look at places where there's no income tax because that's another 6% in the old pockets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes even more than that. Like if you were to go to, some of these other states. Some good reaction here on the talk and text line, 800-990-3776. Ryan from Iguanago. Even when we're not talking about the Packers, we still crap on Gary. Fair. It's fair. Okay.
Is it fair? Have you been to Gary?
Yes, I've been to Gary.
Indiana. No. Have you driven through Gary, or have you actually
been
to Gary?
I've driven through Gary. All right. Like, okay. What reason would I have to stop in Gary,
true,
Indiana?
True, most times that's enough.
What reason? The first good story I hear about Gary, Indiana, or the next one, is going to be the first one. No one has ever said anything good about Gary, Indiana.
No. Well, it's considered the armpit of the country.
Sam says the Tri-State Tollway Bears. Okay, I could get behind that. Tri-State Tollway Bears, no matter where they end up. there's an empty lot somewhere in Sheboygan they could play, is what Mitchell says. All right, it's getting them even closer up to Green Bay. And Linda. Linda's into my idea of having a move to Wisconsin. Put the stadium in Wisconsin. We can literally own the Bears. Because no matter what, we can just hold it over their heads, Chew. Our state saved your team. You guys needed a place to play, and we welcomed you with open arms like the good neighbors we are. You're welcome for your football team, Bears fans. Like, that's what could happen.
Yeah, you know what else could happen? They could be pretty darn good. because, like you said, they got the right coach in place. Now, the chances of them figuring it out are slim to none.
Again, this just proves, again, it is so hard to succeed when you have incompetent leadership at this level, whether it's ownership, whether it's that president, CEO level. As the Packers learned for years and years and years, if you don't have competent leadership at the top, it's really hard to succeed in any sport, in any business.
No, I agree.
And I agree. Again, just this is a story that just warmed my heart.
No, I just think if you pull it, the numbers would be no. I do not want the Bears in Wisconsin. I'm sorry.
Even with your putting tolls around the stadium?
No, I still don't want them here. Because it's like the jinx. Something will happen. You know what I mean? They're a jinx. Leave them where they're at. Indiana's fine.
Okay. All right. The Gary Bears.
Yeah.
Packers versus Gary Bears. It has a ring to it, right? It's got a ring.
Sounds like a candy. Hey, give me a Gary Bear. Or a Gary Bear.
That doesn't matter. We get to the reals, X's, and O's of Packers Bears. Jason Wilde joining us next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But I got to tell you about Events by Design. Boost culture with captivating corporate events like appreciation parties, brand activations, and more. Because the creative team at Events by Design, they truly enjoy the work that they do, believing every event should not just be successful, but fun. One that people are still talking about years later. And what Events by Design can do, they can put on big, full events like they've done in the past, and they're completely responsible. Or you can bring in Events by Design to just add a little bit to the event that you're already planning. They're going to be able to come in, help us out like they did with our golf outing, or like they've provided support for the night markets over the summer months just outside our studios on Wisconsin Avenue. Retain top talent. Invest in that culture today. Just search online. Events by Design. They design. You party.
Ready? Down. Put.
All Packers. All the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Gentlemen, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Are you driving down? Are you going to go down to Chicago to cover this game on Saturday night?
I am going to Chicago to cover this game, yeah.
Okay. So would you consider continuing to do that when this team inevitably moves to Gary, Indiana?
Yeah. Look, the Packers haven't done everything right? Like, let's be honest. You know, hiring Ray Rhodes.
Yep.
Mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Harlan acknowledged that one of his biggest mistakes was stripping Mike Sherman of his GM duties, but not just making a clean break and hiring Ted and letting Ted hire a new coach. The way Mark Murphy, who's on a billboard for UW Green Bay as I cross the 172 bridge, handled the Mike McCarthy firing, that he had to come back to the building the next day to say goodbye to his team. Like, they're not perfect. But my God, what must it be like to be a Bears fan? Like, you're winning, you're in first place, you've got this enormous swath of land in Arlington Heights or whatever it is. You have your historic stadium that you put a spaceship inside of on the lake, on the shores of Lake Michigan. And now you're going to move to Northwest Indiana? Like, they are the kings of the unforced air. And I understand it's leverage and this and that and the next thing. But man, oh man, they're just, like, they just can't have nice things. They got to do stupid stuff, don't they?
Yep. Yep.
That's why they're the Bears.
That's why we're all on the same page. Yep.
Jason.
Bears are going to bear.
Jason, what was your take on Rashawn Gary's little interview there in the locker room? I would have called it slightly delusional. Are they told to speak like that, stay positive, or is this just...
No. I mean, both Elgton Jenkins and Zach Tom this year, when asked by me to assess their performance, used the same four-letter word that starts with S, ends in T, and has high in the middle to describe their performance.
Yeah.
And again, I don't want to trash Rashawn Gary. He is a different person than me. So if that is the mentality he needs to have to give himself the best chance to succeed, okay. I don't agree, but he gets to live his life the way he wants to live his life. But to say, I think I've been playing great, when you are a pass rusher who has not had a sack in seven consecutive games, you are asking for people to use the word that you just used, right? Which is delusional. Like, you know, I'm not saying you have to say I played like blank. I'm not saying you have to say that. Like, I respect guys who say that and then say, I have to pick up my game. Like, I have to be better. And I respect that. But, you know, at least some acknowledgement that, hey, what I have done in the last seven games, I'm setting the edge great, whatever you want to say. But at some point in your answer, it should include, I got to get to the quarterback. Especially now without Micah. These guys are looking to me to deliver. I have got to be better. And I promise I will be. I will work my butt off so I can lift this team up and do this to, in honor of my fallen teammate, I'm going to play better. Something like that. And that was not what I got.
God, I would love to ask him, Jason, like, and I would ask him because I don't care. I'd be like, the M on you in college is that you're lazy? And I think people kind of see trends that, and I'd say, are you lazy? Are you lazy? You play half the plays. Micah Parsons just blew by you like you were standing still, chasing down a ball carrier. That to me looks like a loaf. Are you lazy? Because I think you're lazy.
Yeah, let me know what day you want to come up. I'd love to have
Jeez,
you.
Jeez, I'm crow. I just, you know, so, and I told the story yesterday.
What is Jason. That? Bring your Packers Hall of Famer to work day?
Yeah, that's a great idea. I love it. We can even call it that.
Jason, I played for Coughlin 1 year in college, and he was the only coach that tracked loafs for every player. And he would harp on it to your face. I remember the one guy, he'd just, you had seven loafs. You know what? That's my job for this game. I'm going to chart what I think his loafs are. If I think he's loafing.
You think you're going to be able to stay up that late?
That's a Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Man, 8:20 kickoff Eastern,
Take a nap first.
Jason, because when I played, that is the one thing that would drive. And he didn't chart him, but he would say, are you going 100% here? Are you going 100%?
You know? Yeah. No, I do, and I totally agree with you. And as I said to somebody yesterday, because we were talking about that same – I think there are actually multiple plays, but there's one in particular where, like, Parsons is three steps behind him in pursuit and passes him like a NASCAR driver, like Cole Trickle in Days of Thunder. Yeah. And the person I was talking to was like, well, yeah, but that's Micah Parsons. And I was like, well, yeah, but that doesn't mean that he should be able to make up that much ground
that
and
quickly.
Surpass him. Yeah, exactly. Like, I understand. He's a freak. I get it. I do. But, and again, my struggle with that is, and I've told you guys this a bunch, like, and Elgton and Zach Tom are great examples of it. Like, I always want, you know, there are other people who have done this job that they, if they were going to rip you, they were just going to rip you, and they're probably going to use anonymous scouts to do it. And I just want to give guys a chance to, for lack of a better term, tell their side of the story. And that was, I stood there, and there's a young guy from the CBS affiliate up here, Kyle Malzahn, who does a really good job. And I could tell he asked the question before mine, and like he was trying to give him the opportunity, you know, how do you assess the way you've played this season? And he turned, and Rashawn turned it into a team question. So then the old guy jumps in, me, to ask specifically about his performance. And I just thought, you know, we're giving you the opportunity here. Are you going to take it or not? And obviously, as it turned out, the answer, narrator, he did not.
We're talking with Jason Wilde, Lakeland. He's brought to you by Lakeland Supply. They're in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Jason, rank these guys from most likely to least likely to play. Zach Tom, Josh Jacobs, Christian Watson, Evan Williams.
Great question. I'm going to start at the bottom.
Okay.
Evan Williams. He's got an MCL. Again, this is, it's not science. I don't have my hands on his MRI. It's reading people, which I think I'm okay at. In my conversation with him yesterday, you know, he made some comments about, look, I have to be smart. We have more games ahead. You know, if they clear me, I'm obviously playing. I'm never going to not play. But he sounded like a guy that is not close. So I'm going to say no on him. I'm going to say maybe on Zach Tom. I'm going to say probably on Christian Watson. And I'm going to say something short of definitely. I want to leave some wiggle room on Jacobs. But I think Jacobs, I think they finally, even though he was against it, I think they're basically putting him on the Chad Clifton plan.
Yeah, Chad Clifton, like, Sterling Sharp, Charles Woodson plan, sure.
Yeah, and I just think that's smart. I mean, you saw what he did without practicing.
Seemed to be okay.
Essentially, except for, you know, I thought my favorite moment yesterday, other than Halfley predicting that Parsons will break the sack record, which we don't even know what it's going to be yet.
Since Miles Garrett's about
Miles
to
Garrett
set it.
Has three more games, yeah. Was when Stenhouse was talking about what a great catch that was by Jacobs. And I said, because he said he's got great hands. I it's amazing what great hands he has. Which I said, well, then why the hell don't you throw him the ball more? Which is is a little bit of an irreverent way to ask a question. But I thought I could get away with it with Steno. And I think it's a fair question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he's that good, why is this a guy who, I mean, he is, I think he's now second in receptions on the team with 33. But, you know, this guy got to Green Bay without ever having caught a touchdown pass. Just crazy. So I'm eager to see if they use him that way more. But again, they also have to be smart with him because every game after a very brief number of snaps, that knee starts to balloon up on him.
Jason, I know you don't have your boots on the ground, but do you think Adunze is going to play?
That's a great question because obviously his availability changes things for their offense, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying he's Christian Watson to Jordan Love the way, and he's that way with Caleb Williams, but he's an important piece. I don't know. I haven't talked to, I think we're having Sylvie on today on our show. I'll ask him, but yeah, that's an important piece. I mean, people that were taking victory laps on their Bears fan friends, I'm sure they were leaving that little piece of information out from the game 2 weeks ago.
Jason, as much as I have hope that Jeff Halfley sticks around for 2026, every time you guys talk to him, I just walk away like impressed and depressed all at the same time because there's just no way. Like, how does that guy, how is he not walking into a room and just acing an interview for a head coaching job? Like, he's going to nail
him. I hope he sucks, though. Yeah, no, I hope he totally bombs. I mean, look, he's great for us. And I would say this, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with this, but if you listen to some of the stuff he says that's causing you to walk away that way, there feels like there's a little bit of a tinge of references to his head coaching experience. There was another one yesterday. And look, if I'm trying to become an NFL head coach, I would do that too. But that has just intensified my feeling of, all right, this guy's going to get a bunch of interviews. Now, your only hope is that he will Ben Johnson this.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, look, I'm good enough that I'll have plenty of interest next hiring cycle too, and the jobs that are available to me suck.
I mean, now, Jason, if he's putting it on Micah to break the sack record, and he said he's putting it on him and Micah, I mean, he's got to stick around and see that through, right?
I couldn't, that was one of the things that we were talking about after the presser. Like, that'll be great when he breaks the record for some other guy coaching him. And I said, well, he did say it's on him and it's on me. I don't think that's binding.
No. Can we make it binding? Can we retroactively make it binding?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. But look, if let's be honest, if he gets offered the Giants job, he's taking it. I mean, his mom, who is widowed and lost, his dad died in 2013, 2014. She watches our press conferences with her son. So there's no way that he's passing up a chance to coach the team that he grew up rooting for. But the other jobs, would you want to work in Tennessee given their track record? I wouldn't. Like, I'd rather stay a defensive coordinator than work there.
Well, they had frankly one of the best coaches in the league, and they fired him.
Yeah, exactly. And look what he's doing in New England, right? So the way I view this is if it's the Giants, he's gone. If it's some of the other jobs, there's an outside chance that he Ben Johnson's it. Because, again, for those people that don't know, Ben Johnson had a chance to leave going into last year and had interviews and had offers.
He was on a plane. He was on a plane to Washington and decided, nah, this isn't for me, and had them turn the plane around.
Yep. So that is the last great hope of Gabe Neitzel right there.
All right. Well, we'll continue to be hopeful, but no matter what, we may still have the Gary Bears.
Jason, one more.
Yeah. I was just going to say, what kind of selfish person wishes for someone not to get a job? What kind of a person, what kind of character does that show for someone who I thought was a man of high character? But I'm doing the same thing. So
we're in the same boat.
Jason, did you get a chance to talk to Rashid Walker? And I'm not saying he's Anthony Munoz, but he had the worst game probably of his career. And his block better DNs than that. To me, looking at it, I would say you weren't ready to play this game. Did you get a chance to talk to him at all?
So he was sitting naked with a towel eating his lunch.
Okay.
Which, again, I don't, thanks. That's why I shared it with you guys. Because if I had to see it, you guys have to hear it. I have a policy, a minimum of underwear. That's been in place.
Or a jock strap.
Ever since Free demonstrated getting off jam coverage with Jack Strap. Which, by the way, I texted him yesterday because when I asked you about the miraculous hamstring, I decided I wanted to do something on that this week. And I talked to Sean Jones for a while yesterday.
Salad?
So, anyway, if I can get back to the naked man eating his lunch. I did not speak to him. He has, ever since that undefeated thing happened, he has really shut down. And while he makes himself available, it is not productive use of my time. But if I see him today, I will ask him about what he thought of how things went on Sunday and how he intends to bounce back. And I'm sure he'll take a page out of Rashawn Gary's book and say, I think I'm playing great.
Jason, one question, not a question, but I just want to tell you this one thing about Sean Jones, because you covered him. Did you know that he would come into work with his street clothes on, just put his sweatpants and sweatshirt over his street clothes, work the whole day, go to practice, come back to the locker room after practice, take his sweatshirt off and his sweatpants, not shower, and just go home? And we gave him the nickname Salad. Gabe and Josh think it's a horrible nickname. I think it's great.
Well, because you can't explain why you called him Salad.
Because if you work up Salad too much, it'll wilt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jason, did you know that?
I opened a bag of salad last night. Yeah.
Yes.
It smelled terrible. I had to throw it away. It was expired. I did not know that. I did not bring that up with him. He did. He was. But for the record, he was very funny. Talking about the miraculous hamstring recovery. God healed this Reggie's hamstring. He said Reggie did not have the greatest pain tolerance among the players on your team. So it may not have been he did not see the scans, but he did not believe the hamstring was torn off the bone as was reported at the time.
All right. Looking forward to this story, Jason. And looking forward to Willie and Tausch coming up at 9 o'clock this morning.
All right, guys, have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. If you're looking for a new car, truck, or SUV, now is the time to buy, because Ewald Automotive Group's year-end sale is here. They're saying yes to the lowest prices of the year on over 1,500 new and pre-owned vehicles. Yes to 0% financing. Yes to maximum trade values. And yes to no payments until 2026. It's Ewald's year-end sale. It's going now on now through year-end. I've trusted Ewald ever since I came to Milwaukee over 12 years ago. You should be trusting Ewald as well, because they're always going to take care of you. Go to ewaldauto.com. Credit on select models. Interest accrues from date of purchase. Expires month end.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You got to have a condiment with the bread.
Yeah, you want some sort of
alone.
Yeah, you want some sort of lubricant with the bread. Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
It's just necessary.
You follow
like, you don't just be sitting there eating like pieces of white bread with nothing on it.
Can't be going dry.
Yeah, can't be raw dog and just white bread.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I just said this to Jason, but every time I watch a Jeff Hafley presser, it's painfully obvious. He's not sticking around. There's just no way that guy is going to not go into a room and impress the people. Like, it's almost to the point, Chew, where I'm surprised he didn't get the Jets job somehow. Because I know that was the one he interviewed for. And maybe the Jets had their minds made up and they wanted to go after Aaron Glenn because of the ties, you know, to that organization and pick him up from the Lions last year. But I don't know how he just can't go in and just wow everybody that he talks to. Because that's how impressive he is every time he speaks to the media.
I mean, yeah, he's head coaching material. He's very, very good at coach speak, which you have to be in order to be a coach.
Oh, yeah. But he's been a head coach before. Like, he checks all these different boxes in terms of what teams are looking for and in terms of a head coach candidate.
Yes. I have a problem with his gush over Rashawn Gary when it's clearly not warranted. And do you hold these guys accountable? You know? I mean, it's different being a coordinator as opposed to a coach, you know, but.
I mean, I guess I look at the Gary thing. I know you're caught up on it. I'm not. Like, he's going to step up. He's going to step up and he's going to defend his guy in the media. Like, that's all that is. And
yeah,
I think.
What about behind closed doors?
I mean, you've seen the snap counts, Chew. When he's losing playing time,
if
he's losing playing time, and now obviously he's not going to lose playing time because Micah Parsons is out, and it's kind of a whole all hands on deck situation. But when his snap counts were going down and Kingsley Agbaje's were going up, like, what more accountability could exist in terms of your playing time is going down?
Yeah, and look, I would not have a problem with Rashawn Gary if he was making $12 million a year. I would say this is what you get for $12 million a year. This shouldn't be you when a person is making A player money, And I get it. Not all the time you're going to play like an A player, but man, you can't play like a C player. I'm sorry. You can't, Gabe. And I told you my formula for for a team winning the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, now you want me to have all of a sudden the second best D end in the league has gone down, and you want me to have confidence that he's going to pick up his game? I mean, don't pee in my lemonade and tell me it's lemonade.
Don't think that's the Fair? Saying. I don't think that's the saying.
I think, what's the saying?
I,
down my back and it's raining.
There you go.
Yeah, but that one's a little
bit. Is it usually leg, too?
Hey, usually it's leg.
But it's beat down. It's beat down, Josh. I'm trying to create new stuff.
No, you're not.
Nicknames. Like, you guys are the absolute worst at judging nicknames. You shouldn't even judge them. Because the guy behind the glass, I gave a nickname to, and there's so many people that call him that now. Matter of fact, if you went to Adam Schefter, a national known individual, and I said, someone went up and said, what's the first thing you think of Adam when you hear the word Joshy? He'd go, producer in Milwaukee. You're welcome.
Wait, now, you're taking claim to the nickname Skelsman Boss gave me when I first started radio?
No. That was me.
I had never even spoken to you by the time I got that nickname.
Additionally.
And it's just a Y at the end of
I was about to say, additionally, let's not pretend that. I mean, again, while a lot
I know
of
there's not a lot of effort in it. Yes, there's not. But that's how he's associated of a nickname that I gave him.
Why do you think you gave it to him? I mean, realistically, what you did is you called our previous producer Ashy.
Yep.
And then you just decided to call this one Joshy.
What do you call the big lerp, Gabe? What do you call him?
I call him Ashy.
Welcome.
And I feel like that, yes, that is a nickname that you, I don't think I heard anybody call Ashton Rotman Ashy.
I used to listen to your show, Joshy, with those guys. They called you Josh. They never called you Joshy. Never.
I have bad news for you. As somebody who was being called it.
No. No. So you guys are fired.
How
because
far?
Because Jason totally gets salad. He totally gets
honestly,
it.
That is the first time that you have actually explained to us why he was called salad. There
because
have been,
I just
there have
I
been
just
other
made it
times.
Up.
That's about to say. Because every
lie.
Other time I have pushed you on, hey, why you call him salad?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yes.
And you just came up with the salad wilting thing on the spot right there? In the moment?
Yeah, sure. Well, it makes sense. I shouldn't have to explain it. I mean, it's self-explanatory.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Nobody understands
if
it,
you
including
heat up,
you.
If you heat up salad, it'll wilt.
Yes. And that's the first time you have ever said that when I've asked you, why did you guys call Sean Jones salad? I have asked that question multiple times over the years, and that is the first time you've given any sort of reasonable explanation.
I'm trying to think. Well, I mean, I gave tons of Packers their nicknames.
Well, so Antonio Freeman, who Jason also talked to.
No, I didn't give him that.
Oh, you didn't give him? You didn't give him Hulu Duck?
I gave up Mike Pryor commitments. Mine tend to get a little long. We had a trainer, Sam Ramsden. I called him Sam I Am, Green Eggs and Sam. No, that's how I would have, because he taped my ankles.
Isn't the point of a nickname to keep it shorter?
If it fits.
Memorable.
Yeah, if it fits. You know?
Instead of saying, although this obviously continues with you today, Jake the Snake on the Lake.
Jake the Snake, that's a solid. The Blammer, Doc, Bro, all the same person.
I'm
solid. You've
got three nicknames for one person.
Yeah. I'm good at it. I'm just, you know, I'm going to go a little Rashawn Gary. I'm really good at it. I'm really good. Now, you guys are going to push back and say good, which is fine. I can take good.
I mean, even if I give you credit for Joshy, if I were to do that, which I am not, by the way.
So
it's not like it took a ton of creativity. You just took the last one, and you're like, oh, I called him Ashy, so I'm going to call this one Joshy.
Gabe, I can't let this go, okay? Because we fought about it after Josh left the production meeting this morning.
Yep.
And you didn't want to bring it up.
No, I don't want to bring it up.
And I
because we can't contextualize why we would want to talk about this.
Well, it's very simple. All I want to say is, if a person's a thief, they can still be a good guy. Josh, would you agree with that?
I would say no, because there's an inherent dishonesty.
No, no, can still be a good guy. Now, am I going to leave my wallet hanging around? But you can still go out and have a good time. I've got like three examples.
There's a difference.
That's not a good guy. Yeah. That's a good time.
I'm telling you, good
guy. I know
plenty
of people who I'd never call a good guy, but they're a good time. There's a lot of those.
I think you're getting a little semantically on me, if that's a word.
Nope.
I still think you can be... Gabe,
should
yeah,
I put
can.
It on the
I'm
poll? Our friends at Infinity Exteriors. Can you be a thief and a good
I
guy?
I would still hang out with the individual, but I'd have one of those chain things on my
wallet.
You
put a chain on your wallet?
Which I have, by the way. I do have one of those.
I mean, you were coming of age in the 90s. Of course you had one.
Yeah. You guys are wrong. You're wrong.
Well, we'll throw it on the poll. We'll try to get an answer for Chewy. Can you be a thief and a good guy? Again, cannot provide the context in which this conversation came up. I do want to talk about somebody, though, that was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. And a lot of Packer fans up in arms with the current general manager because he would not give this guy a chance a handful of years ago. We dive into that next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Where else can you get football analysis that includes things like dropsies and picksies and interceptsies and flowy? It's flowy. Flowy. The offense needs to be more flowy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
A lot of people pointing towards Robin Hood as somebody who was a thief and a good guy.
Yep. Made my point.
I don't know. I guess I just don't know if Robin Hood was ultimately a good guy. I mean,
Steal from the rich, give to the poor?
Yeah, but you think Maid Marian? I mean, she probably had a little bit of money. You think she was a little bit nervous hanging around Robin Hood?
I bet it was a good time. Probably paid for a lot of drinks.
I don't know if he did because he was too busy giving that money to the poor.
Him.
Yeah, he's a little bit. He was busy giving that money to the poor.
See?
So we've got that out there. That is our Infinity Exteriors poll of the day. Can you be a thief and a good guy? Meanwhile, J.J. Watt appeared on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, and there was a dream. And there was even, because again, flight tracking is what we do ever since Brett Favre back in 2008. There was some flight tracking going on back when J.J. Watt was truly a free agent when he ultimately signed at the Arizona Cardinals. But that's not where he wanted to go. Here's what he revealed yesterday on the Pat McAfee show.
I wanted to play for the Packers in free agency.
I know. You.
I wanted to go to Green Bay.
Mm. And what happened?
They were not interested.
What?
That was old regime.
Yeah, I was going to say, we got Ed Policy now.
Finish your story.
Mm-hmm. That's where I wanted to go. I told my agents, I don't care what the number is. I don't care how low it is. Tell me what it is so I can at least consider it. I said, I'm not saying it's a guarantee to take it, but I said, if it's $2 million, if it's $4 million, whatever the number is, put it in front of me so that I can at least consider it against all these options. And they said, we can't get a number.
They didn't even make an offer to J.J. Watt?
I don't know if it was. This was 2020. This was right before I went to Arizona. It was 2021. Oh,
so you're still playing football.
2020.
You were still.
You should have kicked the door down. Went in there.
Yeah, this is my free agency. My real free agency. Yeah. Like I said that we went. You go through the list of everything on what you want to do. Where would you like to go? What are you looking for? And I said the ideal situation for me would be to go play for the Green Bay Packers. That's where I grew up. I watched Reggie White. That would be incredible. I said I'll take a significant hometown discount to play there. And I said, but I just need to know what that looks like so I can at least consider it against all options. And I was not given a number to consider.
Oof. So a lot of Packer fans not taking that well. He ultimately signed a 2-year, $31 million deal to close out his career in Arizona, where he got hurt in 2021. But in 2022, he ended up with 12 and a half sacks in his final year in the league.
That is bizarre, but there is a track record of Wisconsin GMs steering clear of guys with Wisconsin connections. You go back to Terrell Buckley, Troy Vincent. Who would you rather have taken?
Clearly Troy Vincent.
I think there was an opportunity. Was it for them to take Lee Evans?
I took Robert Ferguson instead.
Instead of Lee Evans, and Lee Evans turned out, I believe, to be the better receiver.
That is correct.
They took, his name is escaping me, the other D end instead of taking TJ Watt.
Well, no, what they ended up doing, they traded out of the spot where TJ went and then took Kevin King.
But they could have had TJ Watt.
Yes, they were in the spot. They traded with the Steelers yes. And then out of the first round, eventually took Kevin King early in the second round as their first pick.
And then who's the guy I'm thinking of that hurt his foot in Green Bay and had a very, very short career?
Vince Beagle?
Vince Beagle.
Yeah, because in that same draft, they ended up taking Vince Beagle in the third or fourth round. I can't remember. I think it might have been the fourth round.
Yeah. So there is a track record, but the fact that he would play for that discounted a price.
Well, I guess that is the nuance in there, is that he wouldn't have necessarily played on a two-year, $10 million contract for five a year.
Yeah.
But he just wanted to know what the offer was because that's how badly he wanted to play there versus going to Arizona for $31 million. You know, like he wanted to know what it was just so he could compare it to other offers. And to not even just float something out there.
Yeah, that's weird because if it was comparable money, you know, he was getting up there in years. He was clearly on the back end. I could see them not matching Arizona's offer.
Oh, sure.
But, I mean, if he was willing to go there for...
Yeah, but why not...
I don't know.
He said $5 million would have gotten it done.
Yeah. So, yeah, why not just offer a two-year, $10 million deal?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's the same thing if you go back to Jordy Nelson.
Yeah.
Where Aaron Rodgers and Devontae told him you can't take that. That's too low.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to Aaron Jones. The offer that they made was basically a non-offer.
Not even offering Charles Woodson.
Yeah.
The Devontae thing where they could have signed him the year before.
Like,
he still had game in him.
I think by and large, when you take all those guys and all the times the Packers have not offered guys extensions late in their careers, they're mostly right. But there are times within the context of a team and what you need and what could be an extra boost that they seem to also stray away, and it's probably the incorrect decision.
Well, they still had the Smith brothers. They still had Za'Darius and Preston. But at that point, rotating JJ in with those guys at that point in his career for $5 million, like that seems like it would have been a no-brainer because they were coming off of 2020 NFC Championship game at home, number one seed. All right, what can we do to try to put this team over the top? Like that just sprinkle in just situational JJ. Like, I guess I would have looked at that similarly, and it would have cost a lot less money when they got Julius Peppers. You know, you're not expecting to get Hall of Famer Julius Peppers, but you sprinkle in a future Hall of Famer and limit his reps. What could have been?
It's just bizarre to me because obviously they swung and missed on his brother. Looking back now, you know.
Well, I think,
would that have softened the blow?
I disagree with your characterization because they didn't swing at all.
Yeah,
they passed.
Fair.
They just sat there and watched the.
Yeah.
They just watched it go by.
Intentional walk. Yeah.
You know what happened by that is they said they didn't think there was much difference between T.J. Watt and Vince Beagle.
Yeah.
And they thought they were getting the same player just later in the draft at a better
value.
Yeah,
I do remember.
Yeah.
Oof.
Well, they were wrong.
Didn't work out great there.
I was a Vince Beagle guy, too.
Oh, so was I, because he was really good at Wisconsin.
Yes. And he was very athletic, too. He did all the testing, met all the stuff he wanted to. One of them is just probably going to be a Hall of Famer.
Oh, no, one of them is going to be a Hall of Famer. Like, he tied the sack record, which we're going to forget about because of what, you know, Myles Garrett is doing this year. But
also, if we go back and look at that T.J. Watt sack record.
He could have broke it. He should have broke it.
Well, they gave him some friendly ones.
Oh, did they?
Uh-huh.
They gave one that they ruled an abandoned play instead of giving him a sack to that year.
Was Brett playing?
Careful now. I don't want Gaston coming after you too now. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy back in 2 minutes.